You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome. It is a Friday edition of the Gym Class here in KGYM as we take it through the 3 o'clock hour here on 1600 AM as well as 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, also the KGYM radio app, the brand new KGYM radio app. We encourage you to download it, the one provided by KZIA Incorporated. Just go to your respective store as far as your phone is concerned and download that. We'll also have our podcast up and ready to go on Apple and other places coming up after the show today as well. Good show coming up. Jeff Johnson of the Gazette will join us. Plenty to talk about with JJ, not only high school football as we get into week number 4, the halfway mark of this truncated season, if you will. We will talk with him about that, but also hockey news on several fronts, and we'll talk with Jeff about that coming up here in just a little bit. More Big Ten football talk as far as players wanting to play. Are they going to be allowed to play? Some big questions coming up as far as that particular topic is concerned. We'll take a look at some of the top games of the weekend and get you updated on what's happening at the United States Open Golf Championship as well. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you. Again, 319-366-1600. That is also the phone line as well. Same number, 319 area code, 366-1600. Hi, Mark.
Hello, Scott. Hello, Buttons. Hello, everyone.
That's Mark. I'm Scott. Buttons on the other side of the glass.
Pleasant afternoon. Great night for football tonight.
This is football weather,
little,
ladies and gentlemen.
Sweatshirt weather, and yeah, it's going to be good. Good night. Good weekend.
I think it will be. Not the greatest slate of games in college football, but certainly the football weekend got started with a really good Thursday night game last night between Cleveland and Cincinnati. It was very enjoyable. I thought both teams played well. I think Joe Burrow is going to be a pretty darn good country quarterback by the time all is said and done. He needs a line. That's the first thing he needs. And just right now, they better start protecting him, or he is going to get hurt sooner than later.
His right arm on ice today after throwing 61 passes last night. Did throw for well over 300 yards and 3 touchdowns, but it wasn't enough as the Browns took a 5-point victory. That was welcome news for another former Heisman Trophy winner, the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns, and he was under some fire, but performed well, and so did the receivers. Receivers for Cleveland were very good.
Yep.
Neither team, I don't think, is going much of anywhere, but it was entertaining.
I was entertained last night. 319-366-1600 if you'd like to talk a little bit of football. We'll talk about the college slate this weekend. Of course, Iowa State off this weekend, and so is Baylor, I believe, now. The Baylor Bears and Houston Cougar game has been postponed. The latest game to go down as far as COVID-19 and the coronavirus is concerned. That announcement was made earlier on today. This morning, about mid-morning it came out.
Was indeed. The beat kind of slowly goes on in college football with not only positive tests for the coronavirus, but what I've been preaching, contact tracing. Teams losing players. Maybe not because of a positive test, because of contact tracing. It's a good thing, but that's going to affect teams more than anything else, I think.
Yeah, we'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit as well with you, as well as the saga of one Big Ten player, Mark, who wants to come back and play now that the Big Ten is going to play. couple of Ohio State players are going to come back. They made that their intentions known right after the Big Ten made their intentions known that they were coming back. This particular player, though, has an asterisk next to him, or asterisk, depending on how you want to phrase it. At any rate, University of Minnesota wide receiver Rashard Bateman has said that he would like to come back. Great. But there's one problem. Bateman signed an agent. And that is definitely not the way the NCAA usually works. And we'll see how it all plays out. But it's an interesting topic, and we're going to get your thoughts about that out there coming up in a little bit at 319-366-1600. As the U.S. Open continues, let's get you updated on what's happening, as apparently there was another bad lie short of 18 because Tiger did the same thing today that he did yesterday. And right now, Tiger is looking like he is not going to be around. He and Phil Mickelson can do can have a match this weekend somewhere outside New York City.
The best place to be right now in Mamaroneck, New York, at Wingfoot, is in the clubhouse. No question about it. Bryson DeChambeau shot a 2-under par 68, eagling his last hole, and is in the clubhouse at 3-under par. He shares the lead with Patrick Reed, both of those guys at 3-under. Rafa Cabrera-Bale and Harris English at 2-under. And the fifth guy under par is Justin Thomas, who happens to be 4-over par on the day. And as I said, the best place to be is in the clubhouse, and that's where Cedar Rapidian Zach Johnson is. Zach didn't have a particularly good day, but this is another golf course. Zach shot a 4-over par 74, and when he walked off the golf course, he was in like 55th place. Since he finished, he has gained 20 spots.
Yeah,
that's why I say the best place to be right now is in the clubhouse. Zach Johnson, 4-over for the tournament. He is in tie for 35th place right now. This is the seventh straight U.S. Open cut that Zach has made. He hasn't had a particularly decorated record in U.S. Opens. His best finish, a tie for eighth in 2016. But again, seven cuts in a row at the U.S. Open and 12 of 17 in his career. So we'll keep you updated on the leaderboard. Again, only five players under par. And I really think this is what the USGA, at least this afternoon, had in mind for the U.S. Open.
There were reports yesterday, last night, that the superintendent at Wingfoot was absolutely livid with the United States Golf Association yesterday due to the fact the way the course was set up. Now, keep in mind, I believe yesterday there were 21 under par scores out of a field of 144. So you're still talking about a really, really tough golf course. But he was speaking...
it was an outbreak of under par rounds.
Right. He was speaking on behalf of not only himself, but also of the... I would imagine the general membership of Wingfoot. Wingfoot has had double digit over par scores win, 5-over-1, and to shoot 5-under yesterday, the membership was not happy. The USGA said reportedly after yesterday's first round that the reason they made the course easier was so they could get the field in, which they did not do. There were two or three groups that were still out there that had to complete their round this morning. Keep in mind, this is September. This is mid to late September. This is not the usual June where you have daylight until 8:30, 8:45. Sun goes down 7 o'clock-ish, and they had to make sure everybody got in. Well, they were apparently listening because it's gotten a whole lot tougher. Now, granted, the wind is blowing as well. It's blowing at about 20 miles per hour today, and it is just absolutely brutal out there.
Yeah, again, that was not the case this morning when Zach Johnson went off. He shot an even par 70 yesterday in the afternoon, and Fortunate for him, even though he did shoot 74, he got in before the wind started blowing and greens started hardening up. And there's not going to be many players under par when this day is done. The two players in the clubhouse under par, DeChambeau at 3-under and Cabrera Bayo at 2-under. Cabrera Bayo shot even par 70. But I just don't see Bubba Watson shot 69 in addition to DeChambeau. I think those are the only two under par rounds today. I
believe that is, yes, so far, Bubba and DeChambeau. That is it. And it is just absolutely playing brutal today. Rory McIlroy started the day at, 3 under par? 2 or 3 under par? And made a birdie on his ninth hole to get to plus 4 on the day. He is at plus 1, but that's still top 10. And you've brought in everybody in right now. John Rahm is there at plus 1. Matthew Wolf at even. Xander Schauffele at even. Again, it's just an absolutely brutally tough golf course that they're playing with actual rough, which is fun to watch.
The cut is about to go to plus 6, and it's projected to be plus 7. That projection based on the fact the players on the course right now just aren't going to do very well. So, again, Zach Johnson in at plus 4. He's in within the top. Let's see, right now he's tied for 36th and going to play the weekend, which is always a good thing in a major.
Great thing, and congratulations to Zach on that. Tiger's made his second double of the front. He is at plus 8, and he's going to have to find at least one, if not two, birdies, and they are very hard to find today at Wingfoot. 319-366-1600. Going to talk to Jeff Johnson here in about 5, 6, 7 minutes or so, and a bevy of topics to talk about with Jeff. One of those, first and foremost, will be the decision today by the Cedar Rapids Rough Riders out of the USHL that they will not be playing in the 2020-2021 season. The Rough Riders building, of course, as we all know, is in disrepair right now. And instead of trying to figure out another place to play, etc., they are just going to sit out the 2020-2021 season. And that is just, it's brutal news, no doubt about that. I guess it's just the latest thing to come down the line for us and everyone else to deal with, including the organization the most, as far as the year 2020 is concerned.
Yeah, this coming on the heels of a professional hockey team, the announcement yesterday and going to play at the Extreme Arena in 2021-2022. And this is really devastating news for the Rough Rider organization, and again, it's not COVID related. It's related to the fact that there was a lot of damage from the derecho to the ice arena, particularly on the south and west side, that I drive by it often, and it is under repair. I have not seen the inside of it. Perhaps Jeff Johnson can clue us in on that, but really tough news for the Rough Riders and all hockey fans out there.
Yeah, it's tough. So good news as far as a new team coming, and then bad news today as far as what the Rough Riders had to say. And our best to the folks over at the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena, because that's just very, very tough news out there. 319-366-1600, 5680, letting us know Tyler Duncan is also minus 2 today. So thank you for that.
Thank you very much.
We do appreciate that. I will take their word for it. He's moving up if he's minus 2 so far on the round today. Patrick Reed, by the way, is now taking the lead. He has birdied 1. 1 is absolutely a crazy green again today. They're chipping from the front of the green over the hole, back off a ridge and coming down the hole. There have been 7 or 8 of the players that have done that today. A couple have made it. Patrick Reed just did the same thing, threw it off the back, and hit it within about 2 feet and tapped it in for his birdie. Reed has been doing a Seve Ballesteros impression because he has not hit many fairways at all and is suddenly at 4 under par. 64-29. And we'll find out more about this, and I'm sure there are many reasons about it. They are wondering, it's very unfortunate that the Riders couldn't work something out with Coralville to play there a year before the ECHL team begins play. I hope they can bounce back.
Yeah.
We all hope that the Rough Riders can bounce back. We'll talk with Jeff Johnson about that in a little bit.
Tyler Duncan now minus one. I was talking about players already in the clubhouse being under par.
Gotcha.
And Duncan still has about 6 holes left. But perhaps he will finish under par.
Where is he at total right now?
He is plus 2, tied for 20th.
Not bad. Not bad. 319-366-1600. High school football coming your way tonight is week 4. It is the midway point of this 2020 season. And pair of games coming your way tonight, 107.5 FM, around 7 o'clock, 7:15 with the pregame. Myself, John Hegarty, at Kingston tonight, as it will be Jefferson hosting Waterloo West. The 2-1 Wahawks coming down to take on the Jayhawks tonight. 106.3 FM, it will be the Clear Creek Amana Clippers hosting the Bobcats of Benton Community. That'll be on 106.3 FM tonight, and that will be at 7 o'clock. No rooting over there, no open rooting buttons. As a proud alum of Benton Community High School. And we'll have those games tonight. 4A, there are a handful of games, handful of Metro teams that are not going to be in action tonight in week number 4. Wash is going up to Dubuque Senior tonight to play. That is a rescheduled game. Kennedy is off tonight. Linmar is off tonight. Prairie is off tonight. 3 of the 7 Metro teams will not be playing tonight.
Yeah, Linmar and Kennedy, because of a quarantine, Prairie, because it could not find an opponent. I think that's the case, right? Prairie could
Correct.
Not find an opponent. Perhaps other teams will be in similar shape next week. I know Jefferson plays out of the schedule to play Iowa City West next week. And, of course, the Iowa City Public Schools are unfortunately not playing right now. So more scrambling to be done by athletic directors. And sometimes these things come together at the last minute.
Mm-hmm. 81-86 letting us know Lisbon is now heading to West Liberty for tonight. It's this way all year, and it's going to continue to be this way. 66-65, what happens to the Rough Rider players? Will they play for other teams in the league? We're going to answer that question coming up next. Stay tuned, as they say in the biz.
We'll ask Jeff Johnson this, but I believe they're going to be able to be picked up by other teams for 1 year and then become property again of the Rough Riders. But we'll clarify that with Mr. Johnson.
We will. We will do that coming up next. 3:22 on the Friday edition of the Gym Class. Glad to have you aboard as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour today. Stay with us. We'll talk with the Gazette's Jeff Johnson when we return after this here on KGYM.
If it's time to update your home, the designers at Alexander Lumber or Answers by Alexander would be proud to help create the space of your dreams with impeccable Wellborn cabinetry. The Wellborn family began crafting these American-made cabinets nearly 60 years ago, and the tradition of utmost quality and care continues. So for a space that's remarkable indeed, design with the experts at Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Oh, look at this. The bar on Main Street is looking for a new bartender.
What are you doing?
Looking for a job.
Honey, just enjoy your retirement.
You know, I'd love to, but have you seen what Joni Ernst has been up to?
What do you mean?
Ernst voted to cut Medicare by almost $500 billion.
Wow.
Yeah, and Ernst supported a plan that would force us to pay $6,000 more a year out of our pockets for health care.
$6,000 more a year? For each of us?
Yep. The Wall Street Journal said the plan would, quote, essentially end Medicare.
But we've been paying into Medicare for years.
It's completely unfair. Plus, Ernst also voted to let insurance companies charge an age tax on us.
So even more money out of our pockets. You think the bar would hire me, too?
I think we might be better off voting against Joni Ernst.
Paid for by DSCC, DSCC.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. DSCC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Look alive, Coach. Are you ready for next season?
If you're thinking about coaching K through 12 school-sponsored athletics, add getting your Iowa coaching authorization from Kirkwood Continuing Education to your game plan. Kirkwood state-approved, fully online classes are happening right now. Sign up and begin your online course anytime, anywhere, and get on track to reach your goals. Visit kirkwood.edu/coaching to get into the game.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Rommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Iowa's elections need you. We're looking for poll workers for the upcoming election who can assist with voter check-in and balloting to make Election Day a success in all 99 of Iowa's counties. Many employers offer paid time off if you help at a polling place. Even if yours doesn't, your county auditor will pay you for the time you spent training and working. Are you ready to do your part by doing more than just vote on Election Day? Fill out the form at pollworker.iowa.gov to get involved. Sponsored by the Iowa Secretary of State's Office and the Iowa Broadcasters Association in cooperation with this station.
Welcome back in the gym class at 325 here on KGYM as we'll keep you updated on what's happening at the United States Open as play continues at Winged Foot. High school football coming your way tonight. 107.5 FM, Waterloo West at Jefferson, 106.3 FM, Benton Community at Clear Creek, Mana. We also have game one of the Western Conference Finals tonight at 7:30 as the Lakers go up against the Denver Nuggets, the underdog Denver Nuggets. And that is the subject of our poll question today.
It is indeed. KGYMradio.com brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Thanks to Steve Anderson and the folks down there in Iowa City. I appreciate that. The question is, who wins the NBA Western Conference Finals that begin in Orlando tonight? Will it be the Lakers or the Nuggets? Go ahead and vote, KGYMradio.com.
319-366-1600. Jeff Johnson of the Gazette, kind enough to join us here on this Friday edition of the program. You can read his stuff at thegazette.com and give him a follow on Twitter as well. We'll give you that Twitter address coming up in a little bit. And he's taking another Friday night off as far as coverage is concerned. The article's still being pumped out there. Good to hear everything is okay in the Johnson house, though, Jeff.
Yeah. Wife went back to work today. So I'm just taking it easy this weekend and hope to get back at it, you know, next week from an in-person standpoint. So, the news never stops, so does it.
No, happy for you guys, Jeff, on a personal level, and I'm glad your wife is recovered and you are well as well.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that, Mark.
You bet. We should get into just before we get into hockey, kind of breaking news out of Iowa City, Jeff, and I know you're aware of this, but the Iowa City School District announced today that it will return to in-person learning beginning September 26th. That doesn't do anything for athletics and football scheduled next week, but presumably football teams can get back on the field that following week.
Yeah, and, you know, great for them. You know, as I've kind of pointed out on Twitter, going off on a rant sometimes, it's just, it's really unfortunate that kids get caught in the middle of what has become a political situation. And, you know, City High, West, and Liberty have couldn't play last week, not going to play tonight, apparently not going to play next week, but they do have, or they seem to be getting an opportunity now to actually play again and hopefully complete their seasons, you know, which is a great thing. And it's not just football. It's, you know, cross country swimming. It's all activities. So, you know, obviously very happy for those kids.
Very much so. We'll get back to the football coming up in a little bit here, but let's get to the news of the day, the unfortunate news about the Rough Riders and the fact that they have called off the 2020-2021 season. Obviously, if anyone has driven by the ice arena, you know exactly why that is the case. You kind of knew it was coming in the back of your mind, but it's still a very, very sad day, certainly in sports in Cedar Rapids.
Yeah, for sure. And to be quite honest with you, I really didn't see this, didn't necessarily see this coming. I mean, they just had their tryout camp, two, 3 weeks ago or so, yeah. in up in Minnesota. So, you know, the guys were scheduled to report here the very early part of October to get ready for a season that is, you know, right now scheduled to start November 6th. But, you know, their arena damage is just so extensive. And the USA, you know, they had no timeline whatsoever on when they could get into it. And, you know, ultimately a decision had to be made. You know, the USHL just kind of said, well, you know, this is our drop-dead date. We got to start going here because schedules haven't even been announced yet for any of the teams. And, you know, Cedar Rapids just couldn't give them an answer on if or when they could get into their rink. And, you know, that is their home. As I talked to owner Tony Sedeo, and they did not consider trying to go elsewhere, you know, even with that new arena in Coralville, maybe available, they did not, you know, contact anybody there to see if that might be available. So, you know, I mean, it's their decision is to, sit this year out, regroup, get the arena fixed and spruced back up and get back after it next season.
Jeff, I've been by the arena multiple times and have seen the damage on the south and west corner of the ice arena. But can you tell me and the folks out there the condition inside?
It's not good. It's bad. It's worse than you just see how bad it was, as you said, Mark, on that corner of the rink, of the building, but. Inside it's worse than I think anybody could really imagine. Just the damage is so extensive, and it's all over the entire building. It's not just that corner. It's bad. And you know what? From people I talk to, they don't know. They don't. Again, I mean, the city doesn't really have a timeline for when this is going to get fixed. But I've heard, 3-4 months. And it was still would have been a question mark. So, that's the level of the damage. So now, you know, and the worst part was they just went and spent $3 million this summer for a bunch of upgrades, you know, the HVAC system and, brine pumps, for the rink and things like that. So they got all that done and then the derecho hits and destroys all the improvements that they made, and it's just such a sad and unfortunate situation. And you know, you just gotta hope that and know that everything will get fixed, and the arena will look better than probably it ever has.
Well, we've got a lot of people asking on the text line. I'm sure you've heard it as well. Was Coralville ever in play, the brand new arena down there? I'm kind of thinking probably. I mean, there's just so many business reasons why, et cetera. I think we'd have to ask the Rough Riders, certainly, and the folks at Coralville as well. But, you know, there are reasons out there, but I don't know if it was discussed. I guess those are the only two folks that sides that know if it even was talked about.
I was told that there was never any contact between the two sides. And as you said, I mean, there are multiple reasons for that. And, you know, you can guess most of them. I mean, that was never in play for this situation. And, you know, what's your other alternative? You're not going to play at the rink in the mall, you know, at Coral Ridge, right?
No, so, probably not going to work.
No, and, you know, and talking, again, to owner Tony Sedeo, I just point blank asked him, is this it? Are you guys done? And he said, absolutely not. He goes, we will be back guaranteed for the 2021-22 season. And, he's committed. That's what he says. So there you go. And I believe him, honestly.
Another question on our text line from a listener, Jeff. What happens to the Rough Rider players?
The league will have a dispersal draft because the Madison Capitals also are opting out this season, and that theirs is more for a COVID situation as far as guidelines for in-person gatherings and things like that statewide that they didn't think they were going to be able to hit those. So they are opting out as well. So every player that is under property of Cedar Rapids and Madison will be available in a league-wide dispersal draft, which will obviously will be here sooner than later. And then, at least on Cedar Rapids' side, and I assume with Madison as well, then these players, no matter where they play this year, if they come back to the USHL, Cedar Rapids will retain their rights. So, I mean, obviously you're going to have guys that are going to move on to college or what have you, but guys that are property of the Rough Riders right now will remain and don't age out of the league, will remain property of the Rough Riders after this season.
Mm. That's the unfortunate news about hockey. We did get good news in the last couple of days as the new Extreme Arena in Coralville that we talked about here just a moment ago. As you, I think, first reported, expansion hockey is going to be coming to Eastern Iowa. And I think if you're a hockey fan, that's great.
Yeah, you know, more hockey, the better, right?
Right.
So, you hope that everybody can coexist. That's obviously the big question. Now, Cedar Rapids and Coralville being just, you know, 20 miles away from each other. You know, will the Rough Riders and will the new Coralville team, will they be able to coexist? And, you know, I guess we'll find out. But, yeah, I mean, it's professional hockey. It's double-A level, the ECHL. Don't call it the East Coast Hockey League. It has officially changed its name to just ECHL, by the way.
Oh, great.
Because it's not just on the East Coast. I mean, if you look at the map of the league, it is literally everywhere.
Idaho has no oceans next to it in the East.
No, exactly. You know, when you go from Newfoundland to Idaho, I mean, that's pretty much being everywhere in your league, right?
All right.
This is, you know, professionally considered double A level. The American Hockey League, which is the Iowa Wild, is, you know, the highest level of minor league hockey. And you know, the ECHL, a lot of guys from the ECHL will spend some time in the AHL during a typical season. And, you know, each team in the ECHL will have a NHL affiliation. Now, I don't know, you know, I mean, that's generally the NHL teams will not provide the ECHL affiliates with too many players during the season because, you know, most of those guys are playing either in the NHL or the AHL. So, but still, that's a nice thing. You'll see some, you know, some prospects here, you know, in Coralville. My guess, pretty educated guess would be the Minnesota Wild will be the affiliate. It only makes geographic sense with, you know, Des Moines, Coralville, and St. Paul all being, you know, kind of fairly closely interconnected there. So that'll be a good deal. And, you know, the ownership group is Canadian and they own the Newfoundland Growlers, of the ECHL already. So I think they kind of know what they're doing and, you know, we'll have to wait and see, you know, what they have in mind for putting together a plan to draw people to the nice new arena down there.
Yeah, is that the main reason this Canadian ownership group selected Coralville? Because obviously we talked about how spread out this league is. They could have gone just about anywhere. Is it because of the arena or why Coralville?
Yeah, I'd say the arena is a large part of it. I mean, it's a perfect setup for a club. You know, it has the training facility on top of it, right? You know, not just the rink and the building itself. So, and I mean, obviously the ownership group thinks that, you know, financially they can make a go of it. Otherwise they wouldn't do this. I mean, these guys are businessmen, certainly. So it's, you know, we'll see how it goes. I mean, Quad Cities had a team in the ECHL from, oh, I think it was 2014 through 2018, the Mallards. And, you know, they went out of business and claimed that they'd lost $4 million in the 4 years they were in the ECHL. And, you know, everybody knows the arena there in Moline is a very nice arena as well. So, you know, the ECHL, I mean, there's always change every year as far as franchises and things like that. And this is pro hockey, and pro hockey, pro sports don't always work out on the minor league level. So we'll have to wait and see. But, you know, I do think this ownership group has the experience and you know, we'll make a good go of it here.
You got to brand this team, Jeff. We need a nickname. We got to get out there and get the word out with a nickname. Are they going to have a contest or what?
Yeah, from what I hear, yeah, I think so. I haven't even begun to thought about to mm-hmm. think about that. I'd say what's the new Beloit Beloit's changing its nickname in the Midwest League baseball, right? And they have a bunch of names out there. One's like Cheeseheads or something like that. Believe it or not.
Yeah, that's so fantastic.
Not the Snappers anymore.
I have always joked, if you're a minor league team in this state, call yourself the Hawkeyes and you're gold.
Cyclone fans, his name is Jeff Johnson. He works with, no, I'm kidding. St. Louis is closer, by the way, too. Just throwing it out there.
yeah.
To Iowa City. But anyway, it'll be more hockey. Yeah, we're going to see how this plays out, but we'll have to wait till 21-22 to see hockey coming back here. Let's talk a little football before we let you go. It's the midpoint of the high school football season, and seemingly, you know, for the most part, most of the games have been played. I would say probably, what, Mark, 85-90% of the games have been played.
I'm not sure it's quite as successful as baseball and softball.
Well, no, and you knew it
yeah.
wasn't going to be.
Yeah.
You knew it wasn't going to be. Plus, 4A has been the problem, though. And I kind of figured that 4A might be the problem. And every week it seems that you've got teams just looking around for various reasons for various games. And it continues this week, and it's going to continue next week, too.
Now, part of that is online classes as well.
Well, that's thrown in there,
City
too.
Iowa City High and Des Moines and whatnot.
And Ames.
Well,
yeah, you there, Jeff?
Yep, can you hear me?
Yep, we got you.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Nope, we hit a dead spot there, but that's fine. No, I'm just talking about the fact that through the first part of the football season, most of the games have been played, but 4A has been the problem area, as you might. We probably expected it to be anyway, and every week it seems to be scrambling and scrambling and scrambling for some teams to find games, whatever the reason may be.
We have a new record, by the way, for rapidity for finding a new opponent. West Liberty and Lisbon are playing tonight, and it came, I think that came down in a matter of just a couple of hours because their respective games have been canceled right at the last second. So they have decided today, just today, that they're going to play tonight. How about that?
Not much scouting report.
I don't want to hear this, you know, how strategic football is, apparently, right? Game plans don't mean anything, apparently. If you can set up a game and just say, all right, come to our place here in a couple hours and we'll play. Okay, sure.
Yeah.
So that's a brand. That's pretty cool that those two schools have agreed to do that on such incredibly short notice, but. Yeah, I mean, I think it's been good so far, as you guys said, as far as, games that the games have been able to be played for the most part. And, we've got here in the last couple of days, we've had some teams that have announced that they've had to go into quarantine. North Scott's one that apparently that's very open-ended as far as how many weeks they're going to have to miss. And then you mentioned the whole 4A thing with Iowa City, Ames, and Des Moines Public Schools not being able to play. ADs are on their toes, right? So it's been incredible and very stressful, I'm sure. So next time you see your AD from a distance, of course, tell him thank you for the great job that he's doing because this has not been easy.
Or her.
Big school.
Yes. Him or her right there. And we still have not yet been told how the playoffs are going to be conducted. Everybody's going to be in. We do know that. But how it's going to be put together, seated geographically, seating-wise, what have you. And I think everyone's eagerly anticipating that.
Yeah, we talked about that, KJ and Linder and I, on a podcast yesterday, is that, you know, I'm sure it'll just be geographic in nature with, a little bit of seeding maybe thrown in there as well. That would be my educated guess on this, because, I mean, that when you look, like for 4A, for instance, they blew up the original schedules with the intention of teams nearby playing each other, and obviously that hasn't worked out real well. But so I would assume that would be the way that the IHSA will go. It'll be interesting. Obviously, the huge question is how many teams will make it to the regular season finish line and be eligible to in the playoffs. That's something that we'll find out here in another 4 weeks.
Are we ready to concede the Central to the White Sox, Jeff?
My hate and loathing of the White Sox has returned, Mark Duke.
Yeah, we were kind of fuzzy and, like your...
That's right.
You know, like the family dog or cat for a while for you guys. And
yeah, you know, and now you get good and you play the game in the right way. And, from watching you play, it's hard to hate the way you play, but...
We'll beat you when it counts, okay?
It could still happen. Very much could happen.
Unless Josh Donaldson pulls another goofball act like he did yesterday.
Yeah, so. you were against Josh. I was against Josh, too.
I was, too. It was stupid.
I just don't – that was kind of a selfish – it was a selfish thing to do because it kind of came back to get the Twins a little bit later in the game because he wasn't coming up to the plate.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people think that the play that, Abreu got the infield hit there to put the White Sox ahead or to tie it, right?
Yes, tie it.
You know, I think had Donaldson been at third base there on that infield hit, he would have made that play. So on the list of things I didn't think was going to happen last night was to get into a semi-Twitter argument with a former big league player.
Who was that?
Trevor Plouffe.
Yes, told everybody in Minnesota to calm down, that it didn't really matter and it wasn't that big a deal. And I quote tweeted what he said, and I said, well, if it, you know, the regular season and the game didn't matter, so why did he get so upset? And he responded. He responded nicely to me, and I responded back and said, you know, you played the game. I don't know crap, so okay.
So we can lose 3 out of 4 to the White Sox as long as we sweep the Cubs, right, Jeff?
Oh, no.
Yeah. I have Cubs neighbors that we may or may not have some a wager on this weekend series. So this could be a costly weekend for Johnson, let's put it that way.
Or it could be a costly weekend for the other party. You never know. Said party. I know who said party is.
Free beer is the best beer, right? There we go.
All right. Well, get out and see a game, hopefully next week, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the plan, 100%.
I have no idea where we'll be, but there'll be a game.
Exactly. Have fun tonight and stay safe.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Jeff Johnson of the Gazette joining us. Give him a follow on Twitter at his Twitter handle. And also read his stuff at thegazette.com. And poor Jeff has didn't have the Colonels this summer, his beat. And now the Rough Riders will not be playing, which is also his main beat.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a beat for Jeff Johnson to cover, let us know on the text line.
He did a little small college football, too. He did Iowa football.
Yes, yeah. A little Iowa football.
He gets around.
Small college football with KJ. And yeah, that's tough. All right, we'll take a break, come back, talk about the weekend in college football, and update you what's happening at Wingfoot. We'll do that when we return after this here in KGYM.
when we first came here, we missed my food from home. I thought Jamaican food would work really well.
We're talking with Robert McLean about his big dream. Midwest One Bank got him started with a home equity loan, checking, credit cards, a commercial real estate loan, and more.
Midwest One Bank make it very easy for me to get a loan.
Robert now owns a restaurant.
And I decided to call it Island Vibes. And people line up, and they love our food. Come to Island Vibes.
Midwest One Bank. Simply better banking. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender. Loan subject to credit approval.
If it's time to update your home, the designers at Alexander Lumber or Answers by Alexander would be proud to help create the space of your dreams with impeccable Wellborn cabinetry. The Wellborn family began crafting these American-made cabinets nearly 60 years ago, and the tradition of utmost quality and care continues. So for a space that's remarkable indeed, design with the experts at Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
As you get back to business, small things can make a big difference, like marking safe distances with floor tape and posting reminders to wash hands. As always, Grainger is here to help, offering supplies and solutions for every industry, free access to product specialists, 24/7 support, safety recovery guides, and more. It's part of our commitment to help you adapt and recover in these challenging times. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities, or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Ask for it at your local automotive retailer.
Hitting the road this summer? Do what truck drivers do. Bring plenty of 5-hour energy. You'll get the alert, energized feeling you need to get where you're going and do everything you want to do when you get there. It's small, light, and portable, like it was made for road trips. Just crack it open, knock it back, and keep both hands on the wheel. Because when it comes to road trips,
are we there yet?
Safety comes first. 5-hour energy. Energy on the go. For more information, visit 5hourenergy.com.
Allstate now has deeper savings, and deeper savings require deep thoughts and a deep voice, like mine. Save for being a new customer. Save more for adding DriveWise, and save even more for driving safely. Visit Allstate.com or contact your local agent for a quote today. As someone once said, saving today is money tomorrow. That's deep.
Not available in every state. New customer savings based on early signing discount. Drive-ice is an optional feature. Savings vary based on how you buy. Subject to terms and conditions. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Northbrook, Illinois.
319-366-1600. That is a text line. That's a phone line as well as we come into the home stretch of the gym class for this Friday here on KGYM. Mike Halas will join us coming up on Monday. Looking forward to talking things over with Mike. It's Iowa State game week next week. Iowa State will be on the road in Fort Worth to take on TCU. We'll talk about that a lot next week as well as we get ready for the season. Mentioned at the beginning of the show, Mark, about the University of Minnesota standout player who wants to come back to the Gophers. Thoughts welcome at 319-366-1600 about Mr. Bateman, who wants to come back but has did hire an agent. And usually that is a red flag as far as the NCAA is concerned, as far as your college eligibility. Does that change now with the Big Ten doing an about-face as far as their season is concerned?
It's a very interesting question. Rashad Bateman won the Big Ten Receiver of the Year award last season as a sophomore. And when the coronavirus hit in October, Bateman said he was going to opt out and go to the NFL. That was in the first week of August. And as we know, things have changed. About a week later, the Big Ten announced the season was off. And Kevin Warren said, we're not going to go back. So Bateman said, full steam ahead for the NFL, hired an agent. And a guy named Blake Baratz is his agent. And what do we find out this week? The Big Ten is back.
At least for now.
The question is, should Bateman, might have to give back some cash or keys to a car. I don't know what he got from the agent. But this would go against everything the NCAA has previously, you know, it's a no-no to hire an agent. And
I mean,
expect,
that's automatic.
Expect to go back to school. But this is the landscape changed for Bateman. Had he known that the Big Ten would be back October 24th, would he have still stayed in? Probably so, because he wants back in. He is re-enrolled at the University of Minnesota and is awaiting NCAA clearance to play. I say let him back in. I wouldn't normally say that because he has hired an agent. But it wasn't his fault that the landscape changed.
Yeah. 319-366-1600 here in the next few minutes. What do you think? Does Bateman get back to playing at Minnesota? I'm with you. Usually, first blush, I would say no. You hired an agent. Those are the rules, and the rules are the rules. But you're right as far as Kevin Warren saying, we were not turning back on this. Now they have turned back on this. So I think that Bateman gets a chance to turn back on his decision as well. I agree with you. He should give back if he bought a car, if he bought a – I mean, it's harder. I mean, those things are hard, yeah. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it. But I'm sure the NCAA and their infinite wisdom can figure out a way that he can take care of all that. If he got money from the particular agent, then, yes, he can give that back as well.
Now, Bateman had health concerns about the coronavirus, and I don't know if he was unsure about the Big Ten even going to play, because that announcement came about a week later after Bateman made his announcement, but this is going to be a very interesting story to watch.
It is. It is. 319-366-1600, if you would like to weigh in on that. 9843 agrees with you. It is a skewered year. There you go. Welsh says he left before Warren said it was off. Unless he wanted to get an agent, then he should be out.
Interesting. Yeah.
That's the take there by our texter. And if it was beforehand, then yeah, perhaps the NCAA doesn't let him in. That remains to be seen. But like I said, Ohio State players also coming back. A few of those.
Did not hire an agent.
Did
I don't
not
believe.
Hire an agent. No. Bateman did. So maybe that's the entire difference. We'll see. Yes. And 6608 agrees with Welsh. Say do not let him back in. He chose to leave before the Big Ten decided.
But what if Bateman played for Iowa?
I'm half 66, kidding. 6665 says, I think if he was at Iowa or an Iowa player, everybody would want him to play.
Mm-hmm.
Before you even had that out of your mouth, Mark, 6665 was already there, thinking about a possible Iowa-Minnesota game for Floyd. Wherever it may be played, as far as November is concerned, or October, or whenever the heck they're going to decide to play that game out there. Very interesting. Very interesting. And it's going to bring up a pretty good debate, I think, as far as the NCAA.
Especially in Minnesota.
Yeah. Yeah, 6608. Mm-hmm. If he was an Iowa player, that changes my mind immediately. Oh, appreciate that. High school football tonight will be out at Kingston. John and I, it'll be Jefferson hosting Waterloo West. It will be Clear Creek and Manna hosting Benton Community tonight. That's on 106.3 FM. Both those games starting at about 7 o'clock this evening. And the high school football scoreboard show coming your way after that on 107.5 and 106.3 FM. All right. Enjoy the golf this weekend, Mark. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Surely will. Talk to you then.
All right. Stay tuned. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way next on KGYM. We'll talk to you tonight at Kingston. Have a great weekend, everybody.
We saved serious cash with our Progressive Home and Auto Bundle and used the money to buy a new boat.
Who's ready to water ski?
This is not a real